you for the mighty work of the Holy Spirit that teaches and convicts us of what is good, what is evil, what is right, what is wrong, what is sinful and what is righteousness, and show us the discerning consequences thereof. But thank you for your mercy and for your grace that is sufficient every day to grant us your gift and victory over sin and self, Satan, the world of destruction, to preserve our soul and to heal our heart and mind and body and soul, our love, our will, our life, our purpose daily. We thank you, Lord, that as you have founded Mary, a worthy mother, even though a carnal mortal flesh, and Joseph to be the father for the Son of God, and that you have found Paul and Peter and all of their struggling sinners worthy of your grace and mercy to become ambassadors of holiness on earth. This is the hope of our lives, that Jesus came to save sinners like us, sinners of whom I am chief, as Paul said. Lord, may you comfort our heart, and may your Holy Spirit alone teach us and preach unto us the living words of truth, that your word will bring forth life in us and life abundantly through us to everyone around us. We pray, Lord, for those who do not know the might and power of your name throughout the world. We pray that your Holy Spirit directly speak to them in dreams, speak to them directly to the heart through events of life, speak to them through your church, through your missionaries, and through us to declare the praises of Jesus who came to call us out of darkness into your marvelous light. And Lord, I pray that daily you give us opportunity to share the gift of love and salvation with our families, our loved ones, our neighbors, and in all wisdom with everybody that you bring our way. Now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be fully sanctioned by your Spirit for our help, for our comfort, for our learning and education, also for our salvation and transformation, that we may become the children of God in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Last week, we have talked about the power of the knowledge of salvation through Jesus Christ. The angel told Joseph, "Do not be afraid to take Mary, because that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall give forth a son, and ye shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And Jesus in John chapter 10 said, "I came that you may have life, and that you may have it much more abundantly." And we have seen in one of the stories how that really works and what does it mean to humanity and to each and every one of us. And we have studied the story of the paralytic man whom their friends and family members lowered from the roof. And we have seen how his unfeigned faith and the faith of his family and friends produced the miracle that Jesus came to grant us. Jesus came to save us from sin, because sin is the virus that brings about every other suffering, physically, mentally, spiritually, socially, emotionally, academically, financially, politically, and legally. And so when the man came, because he couldn't go through the gates, and you know, we have learned that there are so many obstacles Satan throw our way that we may not be able to find our way to Jesus. But the story of this man and his family and friends show us what determination really will bring to us. And once he was lowered before the Savior, Jesus knew everything about this man, in which we don't know his all the story. We don't know what caused him to be paralyzed. But what is so ironic that the omniscient God incarnate, God become flesh, knew exactly the cause of his sickness, and the first thing he tells the man, "Your sins are forgiven thee."
And as he said that, everyone in his own mind and heart who could not believe in Jesus wondered, whom does he think he is to forgive sins? Mm-hmm. The Bible said that the omniscient, the most knowledgeable God, read their hearts and their thoughts, and he looked at them and said, which is easier in your mind, to say, your sins are forgiven thee, but to rise up and walk? Mm. But that ye may believe that I am the Son of God, he told the paralytic, rise up, pick up your bed, and walk. Mm. And he that believed on the Lord Jesus Christ had his sins forgiven and his health restored back. Mm. That's what it means, that a Savior is born. A Savior that saves from sin, known and unknown to us. You know, at times, I know about certain sins, but there are sins I am committing every day I'm not aware of. Mm-hmm. My knowledge only permit me to know about certain sins and about God's way of righteousness in certain ways. But there are some actions or the lack of actions that I'm involved in that are sins indeed. His grace and mercy is sufficient because he looked beyond my faults and see my needs. Yes. That's what it means. Unto you is born this day a Savior. Mm. So because Jesus came, every human being have the privilege to make a choice to believe or not to believe. God's love for all nations and people across all religions is the same. God loves the Buddhists and the Hindus and the Muslims and the Jews and the Christians and the atheists the same. I know some may disagree with me in the world, but I know that to be true because John chapter 3 told us exactly that to be true, for God so loved the world. He didn't say only the church. He loved the world because all the world are sinners. That he sent, he had to, his only begotten son Jesus, that whosoever, that is the question mark, whosoever, like this man, the paralytic, believeth in him shall not perish. The hope of all generation, the Savior from sin, from self, the suffering and the curse of sin, the Savior from Satan, his wicked angel, the Savior from eternal death is born. That whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth shall be saved. Mm. And he that believeth not shall be condemned. It's not because God condemned him. Mm-hmm. It is our decisions that condemn us. And what will separate us from the saving grace and unconditional love of Jesus? But our choice. Regardless of how big or how small my trial, my temptation, my sin is, if I'm going to be running any direction, I'm going to be running toward the feet of my Savior. If you look at all of the miracles in the Bible, all of the miracles happen only to those who chose and made the decision to come to him. Today, there is a group of people. They were not sick. They were not poor. They were noblemen, they were wise men, they were highly educated, who have studied the scripture and learned that in certain time, the Savior of the world, the Messiah, will be born. And as they have studied the scrolls, and as the Holy Spirit guided them to understand, and as the Lord, as they were studying the stars, finally, the star appeared in the sky that was odd, that was different, to declare the coming of the Messiah. They have believed and they have obeyed and they have followed the star. There are other things that has been told to these wise men that are not written in the Bible. 100% the same angel who appeared in a vision to Mary and to Joseph and to the shepherd must have appeared to them to confirm that this was and is the time appointed for God to become man, for Emmanuel to be born on earth. God is with us. And if God be for us, no powers can stand against us. That is the power of the saving grace and might of Jesus, even when things are dark and dreary.
Yes.
Even when you think there is no hope, there is. Because Jesus is Lord over all. Let us read the story together of these wise men. And let us learn something encouraging to us. Let the knowledge of Jesus Christ permeates and control the venues to our heart and mind and soul, that it may become the foundation of our decisions in time of peace and in time of distress. And let us learn something from these wise men and the events unfolded to bless our life through faith in Jesus wherever we are. Under any circumstances, the promise of his blessings and presence, the promise of his salvation and provision is real all the time. In Matthew chapter 2, and let us read from verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. You know, the events at this time on earth were very dreary, very grim, very disappointed, and very troublesome to the people of Israel. Herod was a wicked king. And you know, Herod was a Jew. Herod, politically and legally, was part of the commonwealth of Israel. Herod and the people of Israel and Judah believed that they are God's chosen. So you think they will be prepared for the coming of the Messiah. So things were pretty wicked at this time. And Jesus was born during this bleakest time of earth history. And the wise men, instructed by the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God, came, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Notice, my brothers and sisters, that these wise men, which many call them astrologists, it is not the type of astrologist that we think today.
Okay.
They don't read the stars and make prophecies. These are people who were dedicated to the study of the scrolls and the prophecies. And yes, from the old time, God had used signs in heaven and signs on earth, as he did to the people of Israel, to direct the steps of his chosen people toward the good news of the coming Messiah. And God speaks today in the same manner. God can speak to you and I in dreams, in visions. God can speak to you and I through the events of our lives, good and evil. God can speak to you and I through our families, our neighborhood, and our governments, and through the events throughout the world. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Yes.
But are we like the wise men, wise enough to discern the time and the events and to hear his voice and to follow his footsteps? Are we as wise? Remember, the Bible never said there were three kings. If we study that correctly, they were not kings at all. Okay, most probably priests. But they were wise and noble because they have spent tremendous amount of time studying the scrolls and advising the kings of the time. And if they came from Orient land, most probably from Persia. I wish I have met those type of people, you know. I love to be around people who know more than I do, who can educate me and teach me and draw me ever closer to the Lord. So they came to Jerusalem and they began to inquire of the king who was disconnected from God. We came here looking for that newborn king. We have seen his star. We have seen the sign clearly, that this is the time to be appointed, and the star stopped over Jerusalem. So we are here to inquire. Remember that they had to exercise their natural humanity. And God allowed them to go to Herod and ask, where is that king? Well, after all, he was the king of the Jews. And what other place for them to inquire than the place where the king is? Maybe they thought that the king has given birth to a son. It's the only palace. He's the only king of the Jews. So they came to inquire in innocence. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. You know, that is kind of ironic. Of course, the king have a reason to be troubled. Because he was egocentric. He believed that he was God. He was so wicked that he believed that there is no other authority and power over the Jews but mine. And because the king was troubled, everyone in his cabinet were also troubled. A king? Another king is born? To take over his kingdom? He was troubled. And because Jerusalem got used to that, if Herod become troubled, people lose their lives. And that is the reason why all Jerusalem were troubled. Because someone now informed the king that there is another king of the Jews to be born. And why? Because they knew that once he hears something like that, he's going to commit something horrible and evil. And he did. And he did. So the story continued. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet Micah, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. You know, he inquired of the scholars in his own kingdom, Jerusalem, of the scribe and the priest, is that true? And they confirmed. That's what the prophet said. There will be a new governor, a new king, who will rule over his people in Israel. And he wanted to locate exactly the place. You think he was searching for truth? You know, I want to pause here and say, it is very important for us to pray every day as when to speak and when to be silent. If our words are sanctified and blessed by the Holy Spirit, we cannot be guiled or deceived by the enemy. If it is not, the enemy will use our words against us. So be careful not to volunteer information about yourself or your family unless you believe led by the Holy Spirit to do so.
Right.
Learn some important lessons from the Bible. The Bible said and give us some wonderful principles about speech. Heavy, wonderful principle. If we use them, we will minimize our suffering and maximize our joys. Bible said that silence is gold sometimes. The Bible is saying, be slow to speak, fast to hear, and fast to obey. And the book of Proverbs is loaded with wisdom as to when to speak and when to be silent, and how to speak and how not to speak. But here the scribes and the Pharisees have spoken the truth. They were asked and they have spoken the truth, and God permitted it.
And after they have spoken the truth by the word of God, then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. He wanted to confirm that the prophecy is in effect now, because he had a plot in his mind. He was seeking knowledge for destruction. We seek knowledge for life more abundantly and life eternal. We don't seek knowledge to find an accusation or to harm anybody. That is the work of Satan and his angels. The work of instigation, the work of harming humanity, is the work of the enemy. We are only given the knowledge of life when we need it to make wise decisions. And everything else will be under the control of Jesus. So Herod, when he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. There is two types of worship among God's people. There is the true worship and the false worship. There is the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there is the worship of the enemy. There is the Herodian worship, which have the pretense of godliness, yet full of venom. And there are people who are using the name of Jesus throughout the world for personal gain and to feed on those who are vulnerable. And we've heard so many stories in the news, okay? There is the Herodian worship. Go and find him. And when you find him, let me know so I can come and worship him. And the Bible is saying in the book of 2 Timothy that in the last days, many people's love for God will grow cold. And they will have a form of worship, yet denying the power thereof, from such turn away. But how can we know? How can we know? Remember what the wise man did. They were in constant state of prayer. Jesus said, this is how you will know. I will give you the Holy Spirit, who will guide you unto all truth and show you the way. He shall testify of me. John chapter 15 and 16. So here we have learned, and that has been so true. In the Old Testament, there were people who declared the name of God in every false way. And there are those who were faithful. Always a remnant. Always the few. Always the few. And here, Herod is pretending that he loved to know more about Jesus and he loved to worship him. The devil will try to bring distresses, cares, things of this world, and doubts upon us to separate us from the true worship and the power of our saving God and Savior, and it will all come to our choice. And you know, at that time, the wise men were very sincere, and actually, they appeared to have believed him. He did not show any signs that he's going to hurt them or hurt the child. Just told them, oh, thank you for the information. When you find him, come and let me know, so I also can come and worship him. And they continued, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. You know, wow. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And he said, you are the light of the world. As we continue to pray, I am a struggling sinner. I don't have all the knowledge and I don't have all the wisdom to make all the right decision. And I say that in truth.
And that's the reason why I don't trust myself. But every day, throughout the day, not just once a day, throughout the day, I engage in prayer. Whether I am in my home in the morning having my devotion, whether I am driving, I am in a state of prayer. The Holy Spirit speaks to my heart about events, about in people, I pray. If I'm on a walk, I pray. I sing. I connect with God. As we communicate with God, He shines with His own light before us. And you know, when there are darkness and when the enemy is hiding, we're safe. And that's what's happening to the wise men. They believed Herod. They went their way, and immediately the star came back. And they followed the star. You know, the Bible talks about Jesus, the morning star. You don't want to start your morning without His light to shine upon you. You want to also close your day with the Sun of Righteousness shining within your heart. And then in between the morning and in between the evening, there is an experience with God everywhere you go. That's what happened to the wise men. And I pray that we have the heart of this wise man. So they continued, and suddenly, here it is, the star stopped, and this is where the child was. And it says here in verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. You know, now all prophecies came to pass right before their eyes. And they feel so thrilled that they were guided by the Holy Spirit. And their faith in God's word and their action led them finally to the proclamation and the fulfillment of God's prophecies in their lives. They are part of the story, part of the nativity, part of the instrumentalities God had used to bring the good news of salvation to earth. And so are you and I. We are today part of the plan of redemption, the plan of salvation. For he that is in Christ is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, God made all things new. And God have ordained us as ambassadors of righteousness, to proclaim the saving grace of Jesus and to bring reconciliation to hearts that are troubled and in distress. In our lives and in our families, in God's church, in our neighborhood, and to strangers whom God will send our way. They rejoiced. Are we rejoicing today with an exceeding joy that we have a Savior? Can you really rejoice over that hope? What is going in your life today that is stealing the joy of faith unto salvation from you? Can we experience that exceeding joy that Christ the Savior is born? Can we experience such power in our lives even when things are very distressing and uncertain? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. We just have to connect with Him as the wise men did and as the shepherd did. Poor or rich are given the same privilege to know Jesus, the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. So they have rejoiced. I love that song that says, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come." So remember that. If you experience some miseries, visit your decisions. When I experience any kind of distress, the first person I examine is me. And I'm very thankful for the Holy Spirit. He guides us unto all truth. And if I have fallen short from grace, if I have made a poor decision, I don't sleep on it. If I sleep on it, it gets worse. If I come to Jesus and lay down that burden, He is my Savior forever. He alone can fight my every battle.
He alone can understand my failing, ailing nature, because the Bible said he was tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, he is able to help those who come under the yoke of sin. And that's why Paul said, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, where we can receive help and mercy in time of need. Let his light to shine through the darkness of our lives. That will cause us to rejoice. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasure, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And then being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Three separate events with three separate messages for our time. I want to begin with the last one. I want to begin by how the Holy Spirit and how the angels appeared to them in a dream. All of them together. Isn't that amazing? And then warned them, I have allowed you to be doped by Herod. I have allowed you not to know the truth about his intent. I have allowed you to speak the truth in love to him and to depart there safely so you would not be hurt. So sometimes, and I discovered that in my personal experience with people, at times I've been deceived by others. And the Lord did not permit me to know about it then. But he allowed me to know about it later. And it's for the same reason, to preserve my soul, that I may accomplish his purpose in my life. And you know, it's a wonderful thing to know that we are vincible, not invincible. That we can be deceived because we are mortal, carnal flesh. And you know, I got deceived by myself, by the enemy, and by others. I am living on a sinful earth. But here is the key. They had constant connection with God as human beings. And God allowed them, and now, in the time appointed, disclosed to them the bigger lie. Don't return back to Herod. He's about to do something horrible, and we know how Herod became very angry that they did not return back and how he went to kill. That's why Jerusalem was troubled. He went to kill every child, 2 years and younger, to make sure that there will be no other king to take his place. I am so thankful that all of these children who got killed will be in heaven. Because Jesus was born. Jesus lived. Jesus died. Jesus was risen on their behalf. I visited the cemetery here, and every once in a while I go and walk in different cemeteries. And I was visiting Lawn Tree Cemetery, and I was walking, and a picture of a very little child attracted me, and I went there to read. 8 months old. And there is a sign there that says, budded on earth will blossom in heaven.
Wow, that's beautiful.
For us, we look at the suffering of children as something horrible, and that is because of our love and compassion for our fellow man. It's okay to call it wickedness, because it is. The act of Herod was an act of wickedness, an act of genocide with consequences. It's never an act that we can ever rejoice over. Neither are any of the abuses that have taken place in our lives, in our families, in our communities, in the world. But the most beautiful news is, because Jesus is Savior, these children who suffered because of his birth, imagine the role that they will play in heaven. They knew no sin. They were hurt by the enemy. And this is really the climax of the life we live on this earth, whether children live or children die, how long we live. As the Apostle Paul said, if I live, I live Christ. What a joy that is. If I die, it is gain. Therefore, whether I live or I die is unto the Lord. What a way to live. Actually, there is power in this philosophy of life. If you live every day for the Lord, you will live an abundant life. You are not going to be a perfect human being. You are not going to make all the right decisions. You will be deceived by the enemy. But Jesus is Lord over all. And because Jesus is Lord over all, we are safe and secure from all alarm. The other thing that I want to spend time on for a few minutes. The Bible said that when they enter and found the child, they bowed down the knee and worshipped him. This is the true form of worship. Humility. You know, these are wise men, noblemen, who got riches, who are so respected by kings and by principalities and power. But when they saw the baby in a humble manger, in a stable, with his very poor mother and father, the Bible said they bowed down and worshipped him. Humility is the key to divinity. The Son of God, God incarnate, the Lord Jesus Christ, humbled himself and became man. The wise men, they were wise men because when they have recognized the deity, the holiness, the purpose of this baby child, they did not judge him by his status. They humbled themselves and recognized his calling. He shall be the King of the Jews, the Savior of the world. How are we treating Jesus Christ in our lives every day? Are we humble and broken before him because we are struggling sinner and he is our Savior who have borne the ultimate consequences for our every sin? You know, when we go to store to buy things and the cashier give us our receipt, what do we say?
Thank you.
Thank you. We don't know them. We never met them. We say thank you. You know, when something dropped from us and someone picks it up, we say thank you.
Yes.
When we go to a restaurant and someone make our burrito, we say thank you.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. I love burrito suja. You know, and anytime anybody in our family, in our friends does something little for us, we say thank you. And if 10 people during the day have done something good for us, we say, thank you. How many things did Jesus do for us every day?
Uh-oh.
And how often do we bow down,
uh-oh,
worship him, and give him all the honor and the glory and the thanksgiving?
Uh-oh.
I'm not saying that to make you feel guilty.
No.
This is the question really that I am struggling with every day. The Bible said, in all things give thanks,
yes,
for it is the will of God concerning you through Christ Jesus. Nothing is happening to us that is unknown to God.
Yes.
So if everything is naked before him with whom we have to contend, shouldn't we be giving him thanks? And shouldn't we be humbling ourselves like this wise man with joy and thanksgiving that there is someone who is bigger than the universe, who loved us, who came to save and redeem, to forgive us our iniquities, to heal us from all diseases, to fight our every battle. And he promised to give us his power.
Yes.
Next week, I'm going to be talking about this power. And I'm going to be talking more about John chapter 1.
Mm.
Read that. In John chapter 1,
yes,
verse 12,
in case some of you will be traveling. The Bible said this, to them that believed on him, give he the power to become the children of God. To them, like the wise men and like the shepherd, that believed on him, give he the power to become the children of God. Isn't that amazing? We're going to be talking about that next week. But in conclusion, I want to focus finally about the gifts that they give to Jesus, because this is the season where we all consider buying gifts for somebody. Right? I am not against gifts. But I am against commercial gifts.
Okay.
The idea of giving gifts on Christmas or during this season come from the Bible. But the motive and the purpose is very different from what it is today.
That's true.
Okay? So let us restore all things back to its origin. The truth will set us free. These people came and presented to Jesus meaningful gifts.
Okay.
Gift that have purpose. Gift that has God all over it. They have given him gold to declare him king over all. King over all. And gold was always given to honor the birth of kings.
Okay.
And the Bible said in Isaiah that he shall be called King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Yes.
That's why John Henry Hopkins Jr. wrote that song, We Wise Kings. Say, gold I bring to crown him king. You know, I was blessed a couple of weeks ago. I borrowed a book from Pastor Doug Tigner of Redwood Chapel that tells the story about all the songs in Christmas, the Christmas songs that we sing. The authors, the events, and the story behind it.
Really?
And for the purpose of this sermon, I read the story of We Three Kings. That is written by an Episcopal clergy. He is also a great editor, an author, and a hymnist. He was never married and never had children. Consecrated his life and his gift to the glory and honor of God, but he loved that Feast of Epiphany. You know, the Feast of Epiphany, if you didn't know why we give gifts during this season, according to the calendar, the Catholic calendar, actually Christmas is 12 days. No, 12 days of Christmas, my true love gift to me.
Yeah.
Actually, this is a Catholic song with great purpose and a historic background. Came and was written during the persecution of the church during this time, where they could not declare or celebrate any of the events in the Bible. And therefore, during that time, you know, Christmas really began on the evening of the 24th and goes all the way to January 6th.
Okay.
So on January 6th of every year, that's how people celebrate it. They will bring down the tree and all the gifts, and that is the day of Epiphany. It is the 12th day of Christmas.
Oh.
So during this time, John Henry Hopkins Jr. decided, what can I give to my nephews? He loved his nephews. And he loved the gathering, and he loved how family come together to experience the birth of Jesus. And because the wise men give gifts, everyone give gifts. And at that time, gifts were a little bit different from what we're doing today. Okay? And so he prayed so earnestly, and Lord, what gift can I give to my nephews that is so meaningful as the gift given by the wise men? He said he went and he read the story of the nativity, and he read the story of the wise men. And he said, every time I read it, my heart was so enlarged to understand the depth and the meaning of the love of God for me.
And he said, I search for everything on earth to see if there is any practical gift that is so meaningful to give to my nephews, and I couldn't find but one thing. He said, I prayed and the Lord inspired me to write, to use my gift of authorship, of music, and to write a song that depicts the glory of that event of the wise men. And it is that time where he wrote that song, We Three Kings of Orient Far, bearing gifts who travels afar. And he presented that gift, a song, to his nephews. And what is ironic, that one of his nephews later wrote about the life of steadfast faith that his own uncle Hopkins had lived, and how his life of faith touched them in a very eternal way.
Wow.
That's a meaningful gift. Using your gifts to bless somebody else's life. So remember, it is not about the remote control cars. It's not about the things of this earth. It's about the motive behind it and the meaning before it. Shall I say that again? Because trust me, kids do forget about remote controls because broken few days.
Mm-hmm.
Many toys before them, they will even forget who got them this toy and who got them that toy.
That's true.
But there is one thing that forever remains. You know, I spoke to parents and grandparents and uncles and aunts and men and women who become very distressed over the holidays because of the issues of gifts. So distressed. And you know, all of what's in their mind. I wonder if he's going to like it. I wonder if she's going to like it. Last year, they didn't. They say that, no, honey, don't get him this. He doesn't like it. That is not what the wise men did.
No.
Okay? The wise men expressed their deepest love, their deepest adoration, love, and worship to Jesus by giving him meaningful gifts. You know, I live to try that, and it works.
That's true.
When you pray, Lord, lead me, how can I bless my loved ones, my friend, whoever you want to give gifts to? If you don't pray, you will end up to be disappointed. I'm going to tell you right now, because they prayed. They were guided by the Holy Spirit. Because many people, the motives of their giving is to be loved, accepted, approved by the receiver of the gift. And what they got in return is the opposite. Wrong motive. Meaningless. And the gift become meaningless. But I also seen certain gifts given by prayer that is less expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Less expensive, but it carries depth of love and meaning to it. And I found children and adults remembering this one gift and forgetting about everything else that is more expensive. You know, they presented gold. They also presented frankincense and also myrrh. Each one of these, the frankincense, was very much used by the priesthood in his prayer of intercession on behalf of all Israel, on behalf of himself and family, as sinners before God. So, as we give gifts, pray. Pray for God to lead you to give a gift that will resonate upon the heart of many, as the wise men did and as John Hopkins did. And the myrrh talks about the bitter suffering, because
right.
Myrrh is a bitter perfume.
Ooh.
I have tried it. They use it. I have tried it in Egypt because I had a very bad stomach ache, and I went into the monastery in Egypt, and the lady said, take this piece and try to eat it.
Ooh.
And I smelled it very strong. And she crushed a little bit and said, take it and put some water. It is so bitter.
Ooh. Oh.
But you know, it healed my stomach. The bitter means Jesus has to go from bitter, agonizing sorrow and suffering on my behalf, on your behalf. You know, every human being that you love, including yourself, your family members, everyone whom you will be giving gift, remember this, will be going through some difficulties in the days to come. You ever think of that? How will your gift help remind them that there is a Savior that loves them? You know, you can save lots of money and lots of distress when your heart is full of the Holy Spirit, guided to elect gifts to bless the lives of those whom you love, not just on that day, but for many years to come. So the pastor did not say, don't buy gifts.
No.
As a matter of fact, I am saying this, and listen to me carefully. We, our families, the church, our neighbors, and God's people need gifts from heaven 360 days a year. Anytime the Holy Spirit inspires you to love, to care, to express God's deepest love for the salvation of others from the hurt and distress, don't wait till Christmas.
Right.
Don't wait till Christmas. They may not be alive then. And imagine if parents decided, I am not going to buy jeans or shirts or jackets to my kids now until Christmas. And Jesus said, if you know how to do such good things for your family, the heathens also know how to do that. But we need to think far beyond that. How can my gifts that God has given me be blessed by the Holy Spirit for the blessings of my family and others throughout the year? You know, a gift means most when it's unexpected.
That's true. I experienced that many times.
Christmas, everyone expects. Not everyone. Most people expect to get something, right?
Yes.
And some even ask for it. But imagine during the year, the most meaningful gifts are given when it comes from the heart, when it comes through prayer, when it comes by the instruction of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So, what is the best gift that we can receive and give this season and every season? The Bible tells us that God asked us for one thing. The Bible said, my son, give me your heart and your eyes shall observe my ways. When I give my wicked heart, troubled heart, distressed heart, needy heart, sinful heart to Jesus, that's what you want. He will clear it. He will cleanse it. He will heal it. And when my heart is healed, I know God loves me, God accepts me, God approves of me. And because He does, I feel like a prince. And because my heart is full of that, I love other exactly the same. And that's exactly what the Bible wants us to give back. Whatever gifts we give back, it has to be given by the true love of God in our heart for the blessing and the salvation of others and for nothing else.
Amen.
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 So remember that wise men are there to help us know how to become wise in love for God and for one another, because this is the true form of worship. The true form of worship. You know, it's sad, many Christians this week will be quite disappointed. They will be flying far and near for gifts, not for love. And when they got there and when they got things they like, they will say thank you. When they got things they don't like, they said, I expected something else. We already have the gift.
Yes.
God loves us.
Yes.
All of the things on the earth will pass away.
Yes.
You know, your jeans and your shirt and your watch and everything else, it will last.
They don't. Neither do they satisfy. So give thanks. Whatever God gives you. You know, I have gifts in my garage. I haven't opened yet for years.
Wow.
That's true. But I never stopped to give thanks to these people because, you know, they wanted to express love. I'm not going to say I don't need that.
Right.
And the media just told us that when Christmas is over every year, 80% of the gifts we receive are unusable. Mm-hmm. People stack them up.
Refunds.
So I think it is wonderful to give gifts throughout the year. And I think it is wonderful to express the greatest gift, and that is it. Love the Lord your God like the wise men. With all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And love your neighbor as God loved you. This is my prayer in Jesus' most holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Shall we stand together? Lord, it is much easier for us to say thank you for everything that you have done for us, for every gift and blessing you bestowed upon us, our families, your church, and the world. Yet it is harder to live this life of love and thanksgiving toward others. Lord, we pray that you take over our heart the way it is and make it your full throne. Take over our mind and grant us your holy knowledge, your spiritual understanding, your discernment and wisdom in all decisions of life. Take over our will and conform it with thy divine and holy and prosperous will. Lord, may you forgive us for all of our errors and decisions, and may you heal us from all of the diseases of sin. Redeem our souls daily from destruction known and unknown to us. And as you have blessed us and give us another day of life, it is the desire of our heart. As you have been the gift of our life for us, we desire to be the gift of life to our families, our friends, our neighbors, your church, and many others. Therefore, we ask that your spirit in us guide us as you guided the wise men. Every day, in all direction, and in all decisions, I pray for the honor and the glory and the adoration of your name in our lives here on earth. And may you seal our names in the book of life eternal, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.